we have been following a course, and we still are, in the whole thing about our shape. And I'm not talking about a physical shape, because some of us are too embarrassed to talk about that one. But we're talking about getting into shape spiritually. And what that's about is discovering what are our gifts and our abilities. Now, before we go any further, let me say this, that you are unique. Now, there may be some people, praise God, that there's no one else in the world like John Starr. Thank God there's only one of them.
Hooray.
Thank you for that. But that's true of you too. You know, you should know that you're absolutely unique. And that means you're irreplaceable. Turn to your neighbour and say, you're unique. And you are irreplaceable. That means there's no one else like you. They don't have your eye retina pattern. They don't have your fingerprints. And what we were looking at last week is that they don't have your heartbeat. Literally, the way that your heart beats is unique to you. The pattern of it. So just as you know that your eye retina, there's no one else like the pattern of your eye retina, your fingerprints, so it's true of your heart. But I also discovered it's also true of your tongue.
Oh dear.
Yeah, we're not going down that path. But that shows that in minute detail, you have been created, not evolved, you've been created to be unique. That means there is no one else in the world like you. Wow. You don't love yourself, do you really? How can you love your neighbour if you don't love yourself? Okay. And what we're seeing is that God designed you that way. Whoops, where are we going? This isn't working. Yes, it is. God designed you that way. So we had songs this morning about the potter and the clay. And just as we know that a pot is shaped by a potter, the clay can't shape itself. So God shaped you. We're not talking simply physically, we're talking about your innermost being, your inner identity, your spirit, your soul, as well as your body. That God designed you the way that you are. I'm not talking about sin, I'm talking about all the good stuff about you. Now, it's a shame when people don't know what's good about them. Which means they can never enjoy themselves, they can never enjoy life, and if they can't enjoy themselves, other people can't enjoy them. You can either say hallelujah or ouch on that one. Okay, so if you're able to enjoy yourself because you are able to appreciate who you are and who God's made you to be, then other people will be able to appreciate you as well. If you can't appreciate yourself, other people won't. Hello? And that's why Jesus says, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Now, loving myself isn't about selfishness. It's appreciating the fact of who I am and who God has made me to be. And for some of us, it takes us many years. Hopefully, you're not like me. It's taken me many years to appreciate some of things about myself. And it's through my wife that I've been able to appreciate things about myself. That I thought, this, I've done a downer on me. Whereas she has affirmed and said, no, this is who you are. So, even at times she said about my sense of humour, some of you may think, what sense of humour? Even about my sense of humour, she says, I can't change you now. After 31 years of marriage, I can't change you now. And she said to me recently, or about a year ago, and I don't want to. Yeah, come on. Oh. Where is she? Come on. This has been recorded, right? And so we need to be able to appreciate ourselves, because how God's designed you is how He wants you to serve the purpose He's put upon your life. You know, you've heard me say it many times, that Christians should be the people in the world who have a clear sense of purpose to their life. They know why they're here, and they know what they're meant to be achieving, and they know that when they come before the Lord, in the final day, He's going to say, did you fulfill the call I put upon your life? And therefore, no Christian should ever be buried and have a tombstone put over their grave that says, here lies the body of John Starr, in brackets a Christian, who left this world not knowing why he came into it. Every Christian should know why they're here. That you are accepted in Christ, you're secure, your salvation is secure if you're born again, but you're also significant. You are the salt of the light of the world. That means you bring light. God has designed you to be a person of significance. And it's important to find out who He's made you to be. You're not a clone of someone else. And a good marriage affirms that. That we affirm each other in marriage by seeing that we complement each other. Marriages don't survive, or any relationship doesn't survive, where the intention is at the beginning is, I'm going to change her, or I'm going to change him. No, what we should be looking at is, what is the particular, special, unique person that I'm married to? And the whole of marriage is a discovery. I'm discovering things about my wife, or appreciating things about my wife, 31 years later, after we married. That means there isn't a time when you say, I know her completely, 100%. Because when you think you do, they're going to do something that takes you by surprise. And you think, whoa! And also, that we are developing. You know, it's not like you've reached 21 and that's who you are for the rest of your life. There are certain skills that become evident in your life. How many of you have developed or discovered things about yourself since leaving school? And you think, I didn't do well at school on that, but flipping heck, I've got a desire for that, and I shine in that area. You might not think heck, but... Okay? So the whole thing is a journey of discovery. So what we're doing over this 6 weeks is the whole point is to discover who we are at this point. Because if you did this exercise in 5 years' time, you'll probably find that you're going to add even more to what you're discovering now. Because you've discovered more about yourself. You have treasure within these clay vessels. And guess who put them there? God. God designed you the way that you are. That means that no one else on earth will ever be able to play the role God has planned for you. Hello? When He created you, He didn't say, your plan A, oh, and if you don't fulfill my purpose, I've got a plan B with someone else. No, 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 no. If I don't fulfill the role He gave me in life, there will be a hole where there should be a role. And if any of you are feeling hungry at this moment, I'm not talking about that type of role, okay? So that you, God planned that you should have particular gifts and abilities. Now if you look at a pot, you will look at the shape of a pot, and the shape of the pot will tell you its purpose. So if you see a teapot, you know it's not meant to be a vase. Hello? The shape tells you its purpose. And so what God's put inside of you will reveal the purpose that He's put upon your life. So if you want to find out the purpose that God's put on your life, discover what He's put inside you. No one else can fulfill your role because you are unique. And if you don't make your unique contribution to the body of Christ, no one else can do it for you. So God gave you gifts to serve Him. Now that word serve also means to worship. I won't take you through the Greek and the Hebrew on this, because then you'll be completely mystified at the end of that. But let me just say that one of the words in the Bible for worship means to serve. And therefore, to worship God, we worship Him by serving Him with our gifts and our abilities. It isn't simply singing love songs to Him. I mean, I could, I guess my wife would like me to do it more often. Is that she would like probably me to sing, well, I don't know about singing, but she would like me to be more romantic or express more romantic words to her. If she's not in the room, I'm saying stuff. No, of course I can, she knows what I'm saying. But the point is, she doesn't want a husband who just says, I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh, by the way, keep carrying on doing the washing up, cleaning the house, looking after the kids, while I just sit here saying I love you. Hello? Hello? Who wants a husband like that? That's not a husband. Thank God we've got a sense of humour, right? And so it's the same with us and God. He doesn't want us to just sing love songs to Him on a Sunday. He's saying, you worship me also by the way that you serve me with your gifts and abilities, which I've put in you. And so the last 2 weeks, we've looked at our spiritual gifts. Now, I know with you guys, and the feedback I'm getting, we've still got a lot of work to do in this area. And so there's something being planned for after Easter. But in the meantime, what we've done is we're looking at five different categories of giftings, so that at the end of this course, we'll say, okay, looking at the whole picture of the five factors, I am now clearer about who I am, what God has put inside me, and how He wants me to serve Him. So first of all, we looked at spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are given. They're not things that you're born with. They come through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then last week what we looked at was our heart. And what we're realising is that God put inside us certain drives or motivations, certain things that we like doing. I'm not talking about sin things, I'm talking about things that we like doing that are good. Now, where did those desires come from? God. So when we actually discover, what are we drawn to? What drives us? What makes us tick? What makes us want to do that sort of thing? What do I have a passion for? Those things came from God. So that also shows you the direction, gives you a clue about how He has motivated you for certain things, because those are things you're meant to serve Him. So there are certain things that you don't have a passion for. And let's take that positively, because there's a whole different message on the negative side. But on the positive side, we don't have a monopoly of all the gifts and all the desires and drives in the world. We were made with certain things. Are you with me so far? Because if you're not, I wonder where you've been in your life group this last week. So what that's about is identifying what drives me, and my drive may be different from yours. That we're not meant to have all the same drives, but we're meant to complement each other. Just as a husband and a wife are meant to complement each other with their gifts. So what the wife doesn't have, the husband brings in his gifts. What the husband doesn't have, the wife brings in her gifts. You see, you will hear me say, often make allusion to marriage. Because I don't know of any better relationship that actually portrays what the church's relationship is meant to be to Jesus Christ. And aren't we called the Bride of Christ? Hello?
Amen.
Thank you, Alex. Oh, men. So men, you're brides. And if you laugh at that, women, you're sons of God. So either way, we're still involved. Almost. Okay, so what are we going to do? We're going to look now at our natural abilities. These are different from our spiritual abilities. Your spiritual gifts, as I've said, come from when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Give me some examples, guys, of spiritual gifts.
Tongues.
Okay.
Prophecy.
Healing.
Interpretation.
Knowledge. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, etc. So those are the particular endowments of power from the Holy Spirit. But you were given natural abilities where, from the moment you were born. You were born with those natural abilities. That's the shape God made you to be. So some people have a natural ability with words. Other people are stuck for words. They're not very good, they're not very eloquent with words, but they're much better with figures. Maths, arithmetic, accountancy. Other people are good at music or poetry. Other people are not poetic or very musical, but they're mechanics. Other people are athletes. These are natural abilities that God has put within you to serve Him. So you were born with those natural abilities. And all those abilities come from God. So you should never look down or despise or belittle your natural abilities if they came from God. Because if you're belittling those things, you're not seeing that God is the source of those things in your life. They're God gifts to you. Hello? Hello? Is anybody out?
Yes.
Okay, then turn to the twos right now. Just turn to your neighbour. Just turn, that's it, don't stand up, just turn to your neighbour and start and pray, giving thanks for the natural abilities that your neighbour has. Doesn't matter if you don't know them. Just say, well, I thank you for those gifts. I burn them in Jesus' name. They're part of the treasure that you put within them. And in Jesus' name, I call them to call them forth right now. Just pray that. In Jesus' name, I call them to life right now. Amen. Amen. So you've got to keep appreciating the goal. Because, you know, one of the things that Jesus said, one of the principles Jesus said is, don't throw pearls to
pigs.
Don't throw pearls to pigs. Now, what does that mean? God says, Jesus is saying, don't give God's treasures, His wisdom, to people who don't value. So, in other words, one of the things that we have to do if we're going to walk with Jesus, we have to value what He's given us. And sometimes that means taking some rust off. It means scraping off the dust. It means taking the cobwebs off. It means taking the curses. You'll amount to nothing. You're no good at this, that and the other. Absolute bulkum. Complete malamind. I managed to say the right word. Glorify Jesus. Rubbish! Okay? So, you've got to appreciate that this is not fool's gold that's inside, it is the genuine article. And this is what God wants you to serve with. All your abilities come from God, and since they come from God, they're meant to be used for His glory. And that's what He's going to ask you at the end of your life. Did you use what I put inside you for My glory? For My kingdom purpose while you're on earth. And that means that your natural abilities are just as important. Let me say it again. Your natural abilities are just as important as your spiritual gifts. If they're there to bring God glory, and they're there to serve God, your natural abilities, then they're just as important and significant as the gifts that you receive from the Holy Spirit, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The only difference is that your natural abilities were given to you at birth, whereas your spiritual gifts were given to you at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people make excuses for not serving by saying, I don't have any abilities to offer. Well, that's complete nonsense. It's interesting that many studies reveal that the average person, Mr. Average, Miss, Ms. or Mrs. Average, have between 500 and 700 different skills and abilities in them. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have at least 500 skills. Come on. Now, if your husband or wife, we'll talk about this even further later on. You have at least 500 to 700 different skills and abilities inside you. So when someone says, oh, I can't serve God, I haven't got any abilities to serve, that's complete and utter rubbish. And all God is looking for is two things from us. He's looking for our availability. And He's looking for our awareness. He's looking for our availability. Yes, Lord, I want to serve you, and I want to serve you not because your word commands it, but because I love you. Yes, Lord, I will cook the dinner before Lynette gets home, 5 evenings out of 7 at least, because I love her, and I get home before her. I'm bragging. But I make no apology. It's true. You know, and if I've got the time, I'll put the vacuum round. Why? Because I keep thinking about her. Now, I'm not bragging, yes I am. I am still boasting. But I'm boasting in the right direction. Because I don't just say, oh, I've got to do it. I think about it and I say, I don't want her to come home. You know, I want her to come home with it looking out the time. And she comes home weary and says, oh, you're vacuumed, thank you. And every time, I can't remember a day when she's never said, thank you for cooking a meal. And I, as I say, on average, cook 5 out of 7 meals a day. She takes it on at the weekends. Now, what I was saying then, appreciation, the reason why, and if that's how we're meant to interact on the human level, it's certainly how we should react or act towards God, who's actually bled His life out for us. And so we need to say, I'm available to serve you, God. And secondly, what He's looking for is our awareness, that we're aware of how He wants us to serve Him. It's not a matter of just saying, I want to serve you. Well, God says, okay, have you got the awareness of how to serve me? Well, that means you need to know what your gifts and abilities are, because that's how you serve Him, by using them for His glory. So in Colossians 3:17 it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through Him. So the abilities that you possess are a strong clue of what God wants to do with your life. So, you can go through this 6 weeks. And if you come out the other side and you say, I don't know why I'm here, I don't know what my gifts and abilities are, I would say, where's your brain gone? And more importantly, where's your heart gone? Because you're given maximum opportunity in these 6 weeks to discover the treasure that God has put within you. And if you don't go through it, it means you don't love God. Hello? Because if the motive for finding it out is to serve Him, then if I'm not engaging in this process, I'm telling God, I basically, you don't count enough in my life. So your abilities, the abilities you possess, are a strong clue of what God wants you to do in your life. So if you're good at designing, or you're good at recruiting, or you're good at drawing, or painting, or organizing, or cooking, or mending cars, or making music, or carpentry, or teaching, or writing, or speaking, or debating, or computing, or selling, or making money, whatever you're good at, it's safe to assume that's God's plan for your life. And it includes that skill.
Amen.
Why would he give you that skill otherwise? So if God hasn't given you the ability to carry a tune in your head, he won't be expecting you to become an opera singer or to be the winner of the X Factor. Got it? Please say yes, John.
Yes, John.
That means God will never ask you to dedicate your life to a task that you've got no talent for. Hello?
Yes.
The important thing is you're a square peg and you're meant to fit a what? Square hole. Or a round peg, you're meant to fit a round hole. So when you find out what your gifts and abilities are, that's what you're meant to use for the kingdom of God. So God will never ask you to do something he hasn't shaped you for. Relief, isn't it? Okay. That means God doesn't waste abilities. But he matches our calling with our capabilities. Whatever you're able to do, God wants you to do. No one else can play your role. So to discover God's will for your life, what I'm trying to encourage the regular members to do is seriously, please say seriously.
Seriously
examine what you're good at. And what you're not good at. Because what you're not good at, you're not meant to do. Hello? What you're good at is what God wants you to do. And one day, each of us will have to give an account to God for what we did with those talents. What we do or don't do has eternal consequences. So make the most of them now. Please turn to Matthew chapter 25. Verse 14. If you don't know where Matthew is, go to the middle of the Bible, turn right, it's the first book. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Jesus' parable of the talents. This is what he said. Again, it, meaning the kingdom of heaven, will be, is that present or future?
Future
tense. So say, in the future, the kingdom of God is going to be like this. It'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money. To another, 2 talents. And to another, 1 talent. Now, I can't remember the exact amount, but this is an enormous amount of money. 1 talent is somewhere like £500,000. So what he's saying is, in this parable, that people have been entrusted with treasure. Well, what have I been going on about? Treasure within. So to one he's entrusted 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey. Now, who do you think this is talking about? Someone who's come, given gifts, and has gone away for a time. Yes. Right. Yes. The man who had received the 5 talents went after 2 or 3 days and put his money to work. Is that what it says? What's it say? Verse 16, the man who received the 5 talents went after 2 or 3 days? At once. What does that mean about mind attitude about serving God? He didn't need to think about, shall I, shan't I? It was an immediate response. The man who received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, that master, those servants, returned. Who are we talking about? What are we talking about? The second coming of Christ. When he comes back. And what does he do when he comes back? It says, and settled accounts with those servants. In other words, he called them to account. Has anybody had a job appraisal or a job review? Has anybody here had a job performance appraisal in their life?
Yeah.
Right, well that's what this means. But this means it's going to be the last one of your life. And it's going to be done by God. He's going to review your performance. So also, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. What did the master do? Entrusted. That means he put him on trust. He entrusted him. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man. Harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you've not scattered. So I was what?
Afraid.
And went out and hid your money in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not gathered scattered seed. Well then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned I would have received it back with interest. In other words, he's saying, this is the grudge that you have against me. You try to excuse yourself from being responsible by projecting blame onto me, your master. You, my master, this and that and the other. In other words, I am right in not serving you because you've got such a lousy character. Why should I serve you? And the master is basically saying, well, if that was a genuine excuse, and he's challenging his excuse, he's saying, it's complete and utter rubbish, because if you were that much afraid of me, you would have at least put my money in the bank and get the bank to earn the interest. You're just lazy. All the rest is a smokescreen. And so, then he goes on. Remember, this is Jesus. He says, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more. And he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Meaning, the person who has but doesn't use it even what they have will be taken away from them. So can you lose the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Can you lose the spiritual gifts? Yes, if it gets to a point where you're not exercising them. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now this is all about using our gifts and talents. And the story isn't about, he's got more than I've got. God is not looking at what amount of talent you started with. He's simply interested in that you're using what you've got. That's the real issue. And so in Jesus' story, when the master returns, the first two men were rewarded for increasing their master's estate. Or to put it in our terms, that Christians are investing in the body of Christ and working at the extension of God's kingdom. That they were rewarded for increasing their master's estate. And they were praised for being good and faithful. But the third man wasn't interested in the master. He was only interested in what he could get from the master, not what he could give to the master. He wasn't interested in the master's estate. He wasn't interested in the body of Christ, in building the church. All he was interested in was his own individual life. So this third man wasn't so fortunate as the other two. And his master accused him of being wicked and lazy. Do you understand that what Jesus is saying, that to God, laziness is wickedness. Laziness is wickedness. And he shouts, the master shouts at this servant. And he says, take the talent from him. Take his gifts away from him. And give it to the one who's invested in my kingdom. And then Jesus says, this is a kingdom of God principle. For everyone who has will be given more. In other words, if you use what you've got and you invest it in God's kingdom will invest in you. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Put it this way, don't take care of your business. You take care of God's business and God will take care of your business. And the principle here is also, if you use what you have with what you've been entrusted, you will prove to God that you're trustworthy and he will entrust more. So the degree to which God invests in you is determined by the measure you're investing in him. Hello? Hello? So in other words, he can invest more in me if I was investing more in him. And that determines the level of anointing upon your life. You see, wouldn't it be good if we dealt with this now rather than at the throne? Hello? Because there's no reincarnation, there's no coming back as a monkey or a dog or something and working things out that way. Second chance, third chance, fourth chance. There's no second chance. This is the only chance. This is the dress rehearsal. And so, if we dealt with it now, you also remember last week I said this to you, that now you've got the knowledge, I've told you about this, now you're accountable for that knowledge. So if you don't want to be accountable for knowledge, stay away from church. But then God will get you because you stay away from church. So in other words, you can't win either way you turn, right? So as I always say to my daughters, wave the white flag now. Never argue with God, he always wins the argument. So don't even try. Just surrender. Hello? Yes, Lord, that's your will, that's what I meant to be doing. Don't backchat it, it doesn't work. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay. So, everyone has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And this is how the Message version puts verse 30. When the master turns to the lazy servant, he says, get rid of this play-it-safe person. Get rid of this play-it-safe person who won't go out on a limb for me. Throw him out into utter darkness. That means life's too short to settle for doing less than our best for God. Looking at Jesus' parable about the talents, let me ask a question. Why does it matter, after reading this scripture about the parable of the talents, why does it matter that we make the most of our abilities now? Just want you to reflect on that for your own life. Not looking for an intellectual academic answer, but the answer is this, but I'm not even going to apply my life to it. Think about how does it relate to your life, because that's what Jesus is about, putting it into practice. You've heard me say before, the Bible, when it uses the word faith, means obedience. Where there's no obedience, there's no faith. Faith leads to obedience. So I can intellectually assent to something, but if I'm not putting it into practice, in terms of God's eyes, he's saying, you don't believe. Believe and receive, doubt and do without. So let me ask the question again. Why does it matter for you that you make the most of your abilities now? Second question. What could be the harm in putting them off or neglecting our gifts? Burying them. It is a sad fact that those people who neglect their gifts so much or bury them so much get to a point where they become demonized. And the only way of liberation for them is deliverance ministry. Guys, you've got to understand this, you've heard it before, that if you are saved and you're eternally secure, if Satan can't take your salvation away from you, then what he will do is seek to get you in his back pocket. What that means is, if he can't take your salvation away, he will at least do everything he can to render you ineffectual. A fruitless branch in the vine. Your abilities were not given to you just to make a living. God gave them to you for ministry. Your way of serving God. And he wants you to use your abilities to build his church. I cannot look Jesus in the eyes and say, you are my Lord. And he says, I will build my church, and I'm not doing that with him. At the beginning of this year, we went through the whole thing about the second coming of Christ, didn't we? Mm-hmm. We looked at the whole thing about the judgment that's to come. That he's coming back for one thing only, and it's not Northern Rock. He's coming back for Petra. I don't mean this church. I mean, Petra, I will build my church, and upon this Petra, I will build my church. Everybody whose life is built on Jesus, the Rock, is who he's coming back for. But he's not coming back for us as individuals only. He's coming back for a church, and church is not a collection of individuals. It's a corporate identity. It's the army of God. It's the family of God. It's the body of Christ. Members one of another. And when we were baptized into the body, not just into Jesus, on a personal level. Isolationism doesn't exist in God's dictionary. So when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for a bride. Not many brides, one bride. And that means I'm meant, by the time I quit this earth, to have made a difference to the body of Christ. That somehow, in some way, the body of Christ is in better shape because of my contribution. So whatever you're good at, you should be doing for your church. Okay, I know you know this one, but for some who don't know it, spell church.
C-H-U-R-C-H.
C-H-U-R-C-H. Now tell me what's missing. C-H. C-H. Is that the story of your life? You are missing from the church. And I could be missing from the church by being a regular church attender. That makes sense?
Yeah.
I could attend church every week. I could be better than anybody else in the church in terms of attending. But am I actually contributing to its welfare, to its mission, to its overall purpose? Am I being the hand? And someone else is a foot. In other words, we're all parts of the body of Christ and we need each other. And you are irreplaceable. So whatever you're good at, you should be doing for your church. That means, guys, my exhortation to you, and exhortation is part of the prophetic ministry, my exhortation to you is explore the abilities that you were born with. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Explore them. And secondly, figure out ways to express those gifts, those natural abilities, spiritual abilities, heart motivation. And what we're looking at next week is your personality. And the week after, we will be looking at your life experiences that God ordained that you go through life experiences, because he wants you to invest your experiences into the church, into his mission. So first of all, explore. Don't let this pass you by. Don't let it be sand just going through your fingers. Explore the treasure that is within you, that you were born with, and then figure out ways to express that. And then grab hold of those gifts and abilities and aim high for the glory of God. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things in the kingdom to come. Now you are qualified to come and share your master's happiness."